Please know I am but a humble Ravenpuff and do not own or take credit for any of the magical fanfictions on this podcasting channel. Nor do I own any rights or magical say on J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter characters that are mentioned within these stories. These fanfictions are the result of much more creative and dedicated minds than my own, and I will be introducing these authors as well as where to find their other works at the beginning of every episode. Hello, my magical brethren, and welcome to Fox's Fix, a podcast that attempts the sonorous charm on some of your favorite Harry Potter fan fictions. So whether you're taking the night bus across town, de-gnoming your garden, or simply shopping through Diagon Alley, this is a podcast that allows even the busiest witches and wizards a chance to listen to their favorite fan fiction. So I'd say it's time we take a page out of Fox's book and light up this week's fan fiction. Fox's Fix presents the unabridged audiobook of Isolation, written by Bex Chan and narrated by Fox's Fix. Bex Chan's novel-length fanfiction can be located on fanfiction.net as well as archiveofourown.org. Warning, this fanfiction is rated mature for its explicit language, content, and themes. Chapter 12. Sleep. Dear Godric, what am I doing here? Hermione grimaced as the door creaked open, a little too loudly for her liking. She pushed some magic into her dim Lumos charm, just enough to discern some bister shapes and outlines. The air seemed colder as she shuffled nervously inside Draco's room, and she bunched the fabric of her dressing gown at her chest as her eyes settled on his bed. She paused her footfalls. She could hear them now. Sleep-slurred protests and elevated breaths. Draco was having a nightmare. And as she stared a little harder, the glow from her wand caught a silvery sheet of sweat across his forehead. His features were creased and pained, and the vulnerability she saw in them was absolutely breathtaking. He looked beautiful, and it made her chest burn. She blinked away her trance when he writhed under the covers and released a distressed grunt. "Get a grip, Hermione." She continued towards him warily, gazing with fascination she couldn't censor. Something about his thrashes and squirms sent wonderful little tingles into her fingertips that bade her to touch him, but she resisted. He must have been cold. She could see he was wearing only a vest to cover his torso, although it was hard to tell if he was shivering from the cold or quaking because of the inevitable disturbing images tumbling around his head. With a hesitant frown, she shrugged off her robe and transfigured it into a thick blanket. She edged anxiously closer to drape it over him, but accidentally caught his frosty skin. She froze when he flinched at her touch, and a sleep-slurred mumble passed his dry lips.
I have to kill you. Otherwise, they're going to kill me.
Hermione gasped, and her eyes darted up to his face to find it contorted with anguish. He looked like he was being tortured, and she felt her stomach twist with concern and care that shouldn't have been there. But it was. She leaned over and studied him closely, forgetting the chill for a moment. "Draco," she whispered before she could question herself. "Draco, it's me. Wake up." If anything, his throaty growls became worse, and she carefully raised her hand to rest against his damp forehead. The moment she touched his skin, smoky and wild eyes snapped open. Hermione barely had time to release a startled yelp as he grabbed her wrists and pulled her down, flipping them so she was trapped beneath him and he straddling her hips. He was panting heavily with confusion and the aftershocks of his nightmare, and he loomed over her with bared teeth, close enough that some of his hair tickled her brow.
"Draco," the witch breathed, unafraid of the slightly unhinged look in his eyes. "Calm down. It's me, Hermione. His features barely softened, but she felt the grip on her wrist give, and she quickly lifted her hands to his face. Her palms rested on either side of his head as she brushed her thumbs over his cold cheeks. He didn't tear away as she expected, but then he looked completely out of it, tired, tipsy with exhaustion, and still jittery. "It's okay. It's okay," she soothed softly with stroking fingertips down his cheek. "It's okay." His lids drifted lower, so his eyes were thin and almost hidden, and his breaths calmed against her face. He'd stopped shaking, but she kept her hands against his cheeks, willing him to wake up completely. He swayed a little with unbalance before his distant gaze darted back to hers. His eyes were misty and absent as he slowly lowered himself, and Hermione would reluctantly admit that she didn't even consider protesting as his mouth caught hers. While their first demi-kiss had been light and questionable, this connection felt heavy and firm. There was desperation between their mouths, and Hermione couldn't stop herself from giving up more when he licked her lower lip. She matched him with some small but bold sucks, and their wet sounds mingled for 20 thuds of her heart before they paused. He dropped his forehead against hers and kept their lips almost touching as Hermione fought hard to ignore the thunder of questions trying to burst out of her ears and chest. She slowly opened her eyes and found that Draco still looked half asleep, but blissfully calm. "Granger," he mumbled sleepily, as though he wasn't sure if it was her. She savored the remains of his peppermint taste and kept as still as she possibly could as he slowly eased himself off her and settled to her side. She didn't dare move. She watched him intently, searching for any indication that he was horrified or even aware of what they had just done. He sealed his eyes and gathered the blankets back around him, and Hermione shifted on the bed to make her exit. But a sleepy murmur made her falter. "Stay." She blinked and turned to face him, wondering if she had misheard his plea. But he looked completely dead to the world. Had she imagined it? Hell, has she imagined the whole thing? But she wanted to stay. Against her better judgment, she tucked herself under the covers and tried to ignore the voice at the back of her skull, telling her that this foolhardy decision would smack her in the face come morning. She put a fair distance of space between them, hopelessly reasoning that this would make things better. But as she made herself comfortable and cast a quick warming charm around them, her own exhaustion kicked in. Her eyes lingered on his face as her lids fluttered closed, and just before she succumbed to her own dangerous dreams, she brought her fingers to her still tingling lips and released a sweet sigh. Draco was vaguely aware of morning birds as he started to break away from sleep. Some sliver of his subconscious told him that this was the first morning in a while when rain hadn't been hammering against his window. But it was the odd texture of his pillow that made his eyes finally drift open. What the? His cheek was cushioned under Granger's curls. And then he remembered the dream he had had last night. It had been a welcome change from his usual nightmares of murdered wizards and towers. A kiss with Gryffindor's princess. It was a blurry memory without specifics, as most of his dreams were, because it had only been a dream. Just a dream. Just a dream. Odd, though, His lips felt a little sensitive this morning. He raised his bewildered stare to his bedside companion and secretly decided that her delicate and charming features were easily the best thing he had woken up to in the long months he'd been hiding. She looked bloody alluring, almost surreal, only a breath away with tousled tresses surrounding her relaxed face. His weary eyes fell to her slightly swollen mouth, and he wondered. Draco, don't be a fucking idiot. If he thought his room had been heavy with her scent before, he was practically drowning in it now. And it was delicious. He was contemplating whether or not to touch her, wondering if his fantasies had become a full-fledged hallucination. But her amber eyes slowly flitted open before he could. They simply stared at each other for a long minute, her looking slightly embarrassed and him with a suspicious glare. Granger, what are you doing here? He broke the quiet, steeling his features. He watched her with glassy eyes as nerves seemed to spark in her head and she dragged in a shaky breath. Granger? She started quietly.
I thought you might be cold.
He frowned at her answer. What?
I brought you an extra blanket, she explained with a wavering voice. And you asked me to stay.
He scoffed, but a foggy flashback shattered his concentration. That pesky little dream of his suddenly seemed more like a memory. He shoved the disturbing notion away and was about to argue that he would never have asked her to stay. But her next mumbled confession made his brain disconnect.
I wanted to stay.
His black eyes widened a fraction, and he scanned her features quickly before a lusty impulse overtook him. He grabbed her with strong hands and kissed her hard, rolling his body atop hers and realizing their position felt wonderfully familiar. Her hands toyed with his neck as he poured himself into her mouth, all his frustration and anger falling past her lips as he gorged on her taste. She met him with equal and perfect indulgence that tempted his hands to get lost in her hair. A feminine sigh tickled the back of his throat, and he pushed harder into her, relishing her body heat and the feel of her beneath him. She whimpered, and the sound of it reminded him of those addictive showers of hers, and that sent his blood rushing south. But the flicker under his stomach felt too real now, too alive, and it brought him crashing back to the frosty reality. He snatched himself away from her with a furious growl and sat at the edge of his bed, hunched over with angry vibrations crawling up his spine. He felt every muscle flex across his shoulders and down his arms as he balled his fists and rested his head against his knuckles. This was a new level of humiliation and disgust, possibly the pinnacle in this fucked up little tug of war between he and her. He certainly hoped it was the pinnacle, at least. Possibly. He heard and felt her weight shift on the bed, and he willed her to leave before his temper caught up with him. He could sense the anger at her in himself, sizzling behind his eyes like volatile embers that were aging into flames. He could feel she was off the bed now, so why the hell couldn't he hear her leaving?
Draco.
Just leave, he rasped out coldly, keeping his head bowed. Leave me the fuck alone.
But
I told you to bloody leave. He stood with a rapid snap of his body and whipped around to confront her, with a grave sneer carved into his face. Now! No! She shouted back, straightening her back defensively. I want to talk about this. There is nothing
to discuss, he argued. Nothing happened. You are so pathetic, the witch accused with a trembling finger pointed at him. Why do you have to deny that this is real? Because it isn't fucking real, he roared with conviction. Nothing that happens in this prison is real. What are you? It's all false, he continued. This arrangement is shitting all over my brain. I would never lower myself to touch you if it weren't for this headfuck bullshit that I am forced to live in. The circumstances are irrelevant, she shouted. Bollocks. You are still in control of your own actions, she fired angrily. And the sooner you accept that, the sooner... And what about your actions, Granger? He questioned in a sinister tone. How does sleeping in the same bed as a Death Eater fit into your little pro-mudblood crap? Hermione's scowl hardened.
I blame ill judgment and a moment of insanity.
Then I blame you and that old bitch McGonagall for my insanity, he yelled, pausing for a moment to narrow his eyes suspiciously. Is this some sick little plot of yours, Granger? Are you and that shriveled hag doing this on purpose?
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about you and McGonagall, Draco ranted with a slow snarl. Do you have some piss-poor plan? Seduce the Death Eater and get some information on Voldemort with a little effective whoring? Fuck you, Draco. I'm sure that was part of the plan, he hissed bitterly. Screw me, and then blackmail me for some revealing pillow talk. Is that it? You are being ridiculous, she huffed impatiently. Draco hesitated and bared his teeth. Yes, it is sodding ridiculous, he growled. I'm sure even McGonagall has noticed you have the sexual appeal of a shit-smeared troll. He caught the hurt that flashed in her eyes and almost regretted that comment.
There is no plot, she said after a sad silence. You can believe what you want, Draco, but all I ever wanted was for you to realize that Muggleborns are people, that I am a person.
He remained still and willed his features not to soften with uncertainty. He had no idea about other Muggleborns, nor did he really care. All he knew was her. And she was definitely a person, a character with traits and emotions that he didn't always understand, but couldn't help but be fascinated with. She was a person who was swapping around preconceptions in his mind and making him question what had been bred into his bones. She was a person with a kiss that lingered and burned.
I'm leaving, she mumbled, turning on her heel and heading to the door. But I want you to consider this, Draco. If I was a pureblood with exactly the same personality, would you be so quick to discard what happened this morning?
Before a scolding remark could roll off his Granger-flavored tongue, she yanked open his door and slammed it with her exit, leaving him confused and cold. Her question rolled around in his skull, alongside his thoughts on the King Book and everything else that he'd started to question since he landed in this inescapable hellhole. Would he be so quick to ignore their kiss if she was a pureblood? No. Fuck no, he wouldn't.
Stashed safely away in her room, Hermione choked on a stubborn sob. Despite her best attempts not to, it wasn't so much his insulting remarks that had pushed tears past her lashes, but more so her reaction to them. She shouldn't have cared about his opinion of her, should have been more than used to his biting words. But by Godric's grave, that had hurt. She would swear she could feel little puncture wounds in her chest, and she hated him for ruining a moment that had felt, well, nice, blissful even. She guessed she should be grateful for that, really. At least one of them had had the sense to break the contact. But why did he have to be such a bloody bastard about it? Why did he have to make everything so hard? And why the hell had it happened in the first place? Why am I doing this? It was simply an accident. Although, could incidents still be considered accidents when they were repeated? Probably not. She stroked away her tears with trembling fingertips and sniffed away the scratchy feathers in her throat. A quick glance at the clock told her it was barely 6 in the morning, too early for classes, but she needed to get out of this dorm. She dressed herself as quickly as she could in some comfy clothes and her robes, sprinting out of her room, trying hard not to glance back at Draco's bedroom door. She charged down the hollow and dark corridors until she burst out of the castle door and into the cold dawn. It was stunning. A wonderful sky of pinky grays and navy shades that should have stolen her breath. But her mind was far too distracted to pay it any attention. She cast a quick warming charm when she noticed how thick her breath was, and wandered across the quiet grounds until she found a fractured-looking tree that was iced with frost. She collapsed amongst its roots and leaned heavily against the trunk as her tears began to leak down her cheeks again. She could openly sob here without a care for nosy stares, but she still felt like a fool for doing so. She had to face the facts, even if they were completely shattering and wrong. If she was this affected by Draco's harsh dismissal of her this morning, then clearly she felt something towards him. Be it compassion or something else, she felt something. She couldn't recall feeling this rejected since Ron's short-lived relationship with Lavender, and she tried to ignore the dangerous connotations that came with that thought. Perhaps she was simply this troubled because Draco was the only person she had spent any considerable amount of time with since Harry and Ron had left. Perhaps. She had gradually dropped her guard around him, and it had come back to crush her. Perhaps it had been foolish of her to settle into an almost comfortable routine with Draco and assume that his attitude towards her would change. But she had hoped. She had hoped for them to become something different. Hermione. She was too drained to be startled, and she slowly craned her neck to give the familiar voice a confused look. Luna, Hermione sighed as the young blonde neared her. What are you doing here?
The sky is beautiful,
Luna supplied quietly, kneeling opposite of Hermione.
It's also the best time of the day to see Cephals. Why are you up so early?
I needed some air, she sighed tiredly, quickly rubbing away any remainders of her tears.
What are you? Your lips look funny again,
Luna interjected calmly.
Another bee sting.
What? Yes, I mean no, Hermione stuttered clumsily, trying to regain some composure.
No, it's nothing to do with bees. I think it's a reaction to something else.
And what would that be? Luna responded.
I'm not sure yet.
Hermione shrugged, raising her inquisitive fingers to see if her lips felt any different. Clearly it's bad for me, though. I think it suits you. Luna grinned to herself, her eyes fixed on nature's light display to the east. Looks like you might be having a stronger reaction to it this time, though. What do you mean? Well, your cheeks are flushed this time, Luna told the older witch blankly, and your eyes look a little glazed.
That's probably just the cold, Hermione defended weakly.
No, the Ravenclaw shook her head. It's something else. You look very pretty by it, though, Hermione. Hermione offered her friend a weak smile. Thank you, Luna, she mumbled. I heard you're taking a trip to Hogsmeade on Saturday, Luna said slowly, and Hermione watched the first golds of the morning dance over her friend's face. With Michael, yes?
Oh, yes, Hermione nodded. Would you like me to get you anything?
Would you mind getting some licorice wands from Honeydukes? Hermione frowned.
I didn't think you liked them.
I don't.
The brunette cocked her head to the side and observed her companion slowly, noting that Luna herself looked a little bit different. While the pretty blonde's eyes were striking, yet normally absent, recently, they seemed to hold a curious twinkle of a girl with a secret. And a good secret at that.
Can I ask you something, Luna? Ravenclaw's angel slowly twisted her head to give Hermione her full attention. Of course. I'll try to answer, she replied. Some of the others have noticed that you aren't here on weekends, and some other days, she told her carefully. Where do you go?
If Luna was fazed, she didn't show it.
I didn't think people would notice my absence. Oh, Luna, Hermione grimaced. You know we care about you a lot. Of course we would notice. I didn't mean it that way, Luna interrupted, as a slight twitch toyed with her mouth. People tend not to notice others' behavior so much in times of war. It's only normal. I'm actually quite touched that anyone has realized.
So, where do you go? Hermione persisted. If you're in any trouble, Luna, then we can help you.
Luna released a soft giggle, and Hermione raised her eyebrows. I am fine. I am very well, actually. But I am afraid I cannot tell you where I go.
But why not?
It would not be safe for the other party involved, Luna murmured, her expression turning thoughtful and almost concerned for a second. I'm sorry. It would be too risky to tell people. And it's not only my secret to tell.
While Hermione understood Luna's reasoning and rationalized that she had no right to demand knowledge of secrets, when she herself was concealing a Death Eater in her dorm, something in her friend's voice had intrigued her.
You care about this other person? Hermione questioned hesitantly. You must if you are willing to take risks for them. Aren't we all taking risks these days? I'm just worried about you, Hermione continued with a sad tone. This war, Sometimes, even wars can bring good things. They can teach people to hold on to what feels right, even when there's risks involved, Luna said as she got to her feet. Hermione stared at her friend as she made her way towards the castle and tossed Luna's parting words around her skull. As always, the blonde had left her feeling somewhere between bewildered and enlightened, and wondered if Luna had commanded one of her imaginary creatures to spy on her at night. Hermione turned her head to give the half-risen sun an appreciative gaze and gathered her limbs closer around herself as she huddled under the withered oak. She needed to concentrate on her tasks for the Order and toss aside these hopeful thoughts about Draco. It was inappropriate and completely naive, no matter how tempting it was to analyze in her head. But, as always, he was just too hard to ignore. She ended up being late for her first class after a stubborn daydream managed to mist her mind, and she cursed her brain for letting him slip in again. For 2 days, Draco successfully avoided her by remaining secluded to his room, except for bathroom trips and to grab the warm meals that she continued to leave for him. He guessed Granger was also doing her best to steer clear of him, and that would have been just fine if he wasn't starting to lose his grip on reality. It wasn't the claustrophobia this time either. No, he could feel the change in his blood and bones. It was a craving, perhaps just for human interaction, or perhaps it was a craving specifically for her. It throbbed in his veins and made his muscles spasm with unhealthy jerks. He'd broken out in cold sweats and shivered until his spine had felt like snapping and he had almost vomited. Maybe the cold weather had simply caught up with him, but it felt like withdrawals. And the only medicine seemed to be a desperate wink to the sounds of her showers. But even that had only lasted 30 minutes in his day-long hell. Draco had been awake for a few hours now, waiting for her usual purrs to ease the strain in his body. If he had to guess by the place of the sun, it was broaching the afternoon, which meant that another weekend had oozed into his stay with her. He remembered then that Granger had told him she was heading to Hogsmeade this weekend with that Ravenclaw fucktard Michael. And then he had felt fury flicker under his flesh. His chest felt ready to cave in from the sheer weight of this sudden and powerful anger. And when he finally heard her move to the bathroom, he couldn't chase away his volatile thoughts enough to even relish in her showers as he usually did. Instead, his suspicious and unwelcome images of her pruning and preparing herself to meet that joke of a wizard hammered into his head. The idea exaggerated itself, and he gnashed his teeth together as wave after wave of disgust rocketed him. His fingernails pierced the skin of his palms as he clenched his fist shut, and he didn't dare move until she had returned to the bedroom for 10 minutes before he heard the main door close with her exit. He was on his feet in a heartbeat, with seething breath steaming from his mouth and pupil-blackened eyes. He started with the closet and the desk, chucking them to their sides and kicking them until wooden shards were decorating the floor and the furniture was dented beyond recognition. He worked on the bedding next, tearing it into a tattered mess of fabrics and pillow feathers that did absolutely nothing to soothe his temper. With a final roar of jealousy-powered rage, he grabbed the chair and hurled it at the window, only to watch it explode into a rain of splinters. He eyed the charmed and unscathed window bitterly as he sunk to the floor amongst the littered remains of his outburst. He rested his back against the foot of his bed and stayed there for hours, battling cruel images of Granger enjoying her time with Michael Corner. In his lonely heap on the bedroom floor, Draco came to a conclusion that quaked his core. Either Granger was wrong, and he had every right to despise muggles and mudbloods for their inferiority, or if Granger was right, as she so often was, then he
had been a brainwashed bastard his entire life. Her words from their post-kiss argument throbbed in his brain.
But all I ever wanted was for you to realize that Muggleborns are people. That I am a person. You are still in control of your own actions.
I wanted to stay.
What if she was right? What if it had all been for nothing? What if he and all of his family were wrong?
What if she was right? Then maybe it was okay for him to want to touch her. But why the fuck would she allow it? He didn't have a clue what to believe anymore. He remained still for hours and hours, the thoughts swarming around in his head, too loudly for him to realize that Granger had returned, that she was knocking on his door, or even that she was calling his name. He just continued to think, what if she was right?
That was how Hermione found him as the day turned to evening, slumped in a defeated position and surrounded by self-made chaos. Her wide stare scanned the wreckage with confusion, before her eyes were drawn to Draco in the center of the room, and she felt a glitch in her chest. She could see he was shivering, yet he was making no attempt to warm himself, and his eyes were eerily absent and unfocused. His vulnerable and distorted shape had instantly reminded her of the night she had found him mid-nightmare, and how it had led to two forbidden kisses. The concern came so naturally to her, she didn't hesitate as she dropped her bag and rushed to his side, sinking to her knees and grabbing his face between her frosty hands. A flash of recognition and life flashed in his gray gaze, and she sighed in relief as her thumbs instinctively stroked his pale face.
"Draco," she whispered close to his lips. "Look at me. Draco, what's wrong?"
He swallowed loudly and lidded his eyes.
"Granger, how long have I been here?"
Hermione blinked in bewilderment, but quickly added up the dates in her head.
"Just over 5 weeks," she offered after a moment.
37 days, I think.
"It feels longer,"
he mumbled.
"Why did you trash your room?"
she asked quietly, taking back one of her hands to remove her wand from her pocket.
"Draco, what?"
"I don't know,"
he blurted, and she felt him relax a little more into her palm.
"I don't know."
"I'm going to clean up the mess," she told him as she flicked her wand. "Stay still, okay?" He didn't respond, as all the evidence of his tantrum slowly started to rectify itself around them. He wondered if there was some irony there, Granger fixing something that he had demolished for a reason he couldn't even understand. But his brain was too laden with doubt to pay the thought any heed. Instead, he just studied her features, searching once again for any indication that she was inferior. But, once again, he found none. Not a trace of anything he could hate, no matter how hard he tried.
"Draco, you're cold,"
she commented, bringing her attention back to him.
"Let me..."
"No,"
he said, without his usual bite.
"I'm fine, Granger."
She frowned, but didn't argue, knowing better than to aggravate him in this instance.
"I got the things you asked for," she told him, summoning her charmed bag.
She swished her wand again, and Draco watched with half-hearted interest as his drapes and bedding were replaced with rich green fabrics and his requested selection of sweets landed on his repaired desk.
Draco, what's wrong? Why did you trash?
I told you. I don't know. He repeated quietly. I just did.
You don't look very well, she murmured, bringing one of her hands to his forehead. Let me get you some.
Don't.
He stopped her, clenching his eyes shut.
Don't go.
Draco, you're worrying me.
Why should you worry about someone you can't stand?
Hermione tilted her head to catch his eyes. I told you, I don't hate you.
Well, you should, he told her firmly. You should loathe me.
Well, I don't, she argued calmly, shuffling a little closer to him. Maybe I should, but I can't.
Then how do you feel about me now, Granger?
That question again? She sighed, settling her hands in her lap and averting his gaze. I don't know, Draco.
Do you think I'm evil, Granger? He asked bluntly.
No, you're not evil, she assured him without hesitation. You have just been misled. You're human, Draco, and you've made mistakes, but I can't hate you for that.
He lifted his head, his eyes reaching hers, and released a shaky breath. I should hate you.
Should? She echoed with a puzzled tone. As in, you don't anymore?
I don't know.
He muttered so quietly, she wasn't sure he said it at all. His reluctant confession was flimsy and questionable, but she found herself feeling encouraged by his doubt. That hopeful spark that she had been so determined to ignore blossomed in her chest before she could help it. This was what she had wanted. Some voice confirmation that he was starting to question his prejudices. It teased her Gryffindor courage, and she slowly shifted closer to him again, boldly setting herself between his legs and resting her weight against his chest. She expected him to instantly reject her brazen gesture, but he didn't. He didn't even flinch as she rested her head against his shoulder. He remained completely still and unresponsive, but she felt inexplicably safe there, warm and comfortable in a forbidden moment that lured her into a sleepy state.
This doesn't mean anything,
she heard Draco murmur by her ear, possibly more to himself than her.
It doesn't. It doesn't mean anything.
I know, she whispered.
Draco was painfully aware that this was far too intimate and undoubtedly wrong. But after 2 days of denying his craving to be this close to her, he was simply too absorbed now to push her away. He knew in the morning he would come to regret this lapse in judgment, but he couldn't resist the drugging effect she had on him right now. It was barely 8 o'clock, but sleep stole Hermione quickly, and Draco followed her a moment later with a disturbing realization that things were changing. He was changing.
This has been an unabridged audio chapter of Isolation, written by Bex Chan and narrated by Fox's Fix. A special thank you goes out to Bex Chan for allowing me the privilege to read her story. To recommend your favorite Harry Potter fanfiction for future audiobook episodes, please visit Fox Fix Facebook page and Instagram through the links located in our description below. You can also help support us with donations through our PayPal account to help produce and shape in our future narrated fanfictions. Thank you for listening. Please join us next week for a continuation of this magical fanfiction. See you then!